All right, the agenda is here. On the agenda today, we have linking instance documents with context documents, IRI expansion within context, distinguishing a JSON-LD frame from a JSON-LD document, and using IRIs and queries as context keys. Anything else that we should add to the agenda? Any modifications to the agenda before we begin?
We might discuss the case sensitivity because I think that's quite clear. I mean, I think we all agreed already on that, so we can just resolve it in hierarchy.
Okay. Okay. The other thing that we might want to put on the agenda is our CTO, Dave Longley, just implemented everything that we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, including all the way down through the normalization algorithm. So let's spend a little bit of time to discuss that as well. Let's see. Marcus, do you mind? We'll do talking about the updates to the implementations, then case sensitivity, then the rest of the agenda. Does that sound okay to you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay. So Dave Longley sent out an email yesterday saying that he has updated all of the use cases, or sorry, not use cases, implementations. And the good news is that all of the kind of all of the resolutions that we've made in the working group are now implemented and live on the JSON-LD-org playground. So you can actually go take a look at it. Let me find the link to that. So if you go to jsonld.org/playground, you can see what the new markup looks like. So this has the context modifications where ID, where we use ID, and where we use basically type to specify the type of the type of the data type, the coercion rules, basically. So we have a bunch of updates in there. All of it seems to work. Dave Longley said that the implementations were a little more difficult because we have a less of a variance in keywords. You have to do more to figure out exactly what you're dealing with in any JSON object. But the good news is that it seems implementable in a deterministic way, so that's good news. Any questions on that before we go forward?
I can comment quickly on I did change my context. I haven't done any implementation changes to it yet, though. I haven't had any time, but I looked at the context with this new form, in this new form, and it seems okay. It looks very usable still. One significant thing which I did expect was that I had to kind of bite a bullet due to vocab being removed, and what that forced me to do, which was a good thing, was to generate my context from my schema. Because I have many terms, and I couldn't just implicitly import them. The thing that I sort of expected when doing that was that I added some heuristics for detecting, detecting data type coercion was easy because I had data type ranges for data type properties. The other thing I use, which is an experimental thing, which we have discussed on the mailing list regarding container set, as we've talked about, forcing certain properties to always be JSON arrays.
Mm-hmm.
And I expected that most of my terms would end up in either of these two groups. Either they were data type queries or they were multiple object properties. And that proved fairly accurate. So the amount of terms I had to import just to get their names were about 30% of the entire vocabulary, which is more than I would be able to shave that off using vocab, but they weren't in the majority. They were all the types and certain simple properties.
Okay. Okay. Well, so that's good news then. I guess, I mean, you know, meaning that getting rid of vocab, what I'm hearing is you're saying getting rid of vocab didn't have as negative of an impact as you thought it would?
Exactly. Actually, I had sort of a hunch that it wouldn't be so negative as I was fearing. I still think that I might want to revisit if we should consider reintroducing vocab in the future, if there is interest from more parties. For one, as mentioned, I would be able to shave off 30% directly from my context if we added it again. And furthermore, depending on one of the other issues today regarding expanding terms and so forth in the context, we might be able to remove ID in term declarations as well. So I will investigate further and write up something if I feel that I want to push that forward.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Also, possibly one thing that struck me was that Ivan did the JSON LD output from his RDFA1.1 extractor a while ago. And everything there could be represented with, if even with these changes, apart from vocab.
Yeah, okay.
But that's it.
Okay. Sorry, I got Nicholas and Marcus messed up. My bad. okay. Okay, anything else on this before we move on? All right, so the next topic up is case sensitivity in JSON LD. Let's see, is this issue 45?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So go ahead, Marcus.
Well, basically, we already discussed that on the mailing list, and the thing is, if we consider keywords such as context or a type or the like to be case-sensitive or not, I think there was already, well, I think we already resolved that because Dave Longley, Oliver, Greg, and myself, well, I changed the opinion, we agreed that JSON-LD should be case sensitive.
The issue says define it as case insensitive and a bunch of plus ones. Is that a mistype?
No, the issue says define if JSON-LD is case sensitive or not.
Right, but if you look at all the plus ones, it says define it as case insensitive.
Oh, that's a mistake. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah, I was just, you know.
Okay, just update that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I completely agree. It should be case sensitive. I don't think we want to go down the case insensitive route. It just ends up confusing people. Unless there's a very good reason to do it, like in HTML4 to HTML5.
Yeah, exactly. That was my first thought, but then, yeah, I think it doesn't bring any advantages in this context.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Well, we can do a proposal. Jason LD is case sensitive. I think it's just as simple as that, yeah?
Yeah.
Fastest resolution ever. Okay. Good. All right, so let's get into the agenda now. First up on the agenda is issue 16, linking instance documents and context documents. Marcus, if you'd want to, I think this is your proposal, right? So if you'd want to give us a quick overview of what you'd like to see happen.
So basically the thing is that HTTP has support for link headers, or you could also use MIME type parameters to link a data document. So the part of a JSON-LD document which is actually containing the data to a context kind of out of band. So you could either use a link header or a MIME type parameter to link a context document to such an instance document. So that's one part of the thing. And the other thing is that you also could do it the other way around. So link a data document to a context document. And that's something we currently don't support. It's not clear whether we need that or not, but there was some discussion on that on the mailing list. And another thing I think we should really consider is specifying that a link header for normal JSON document, so that you can link a plain old JSON document to a context document to transform that JSON document to a JSON-LD document without touching that JSON document.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I think that's important is because changing the MIME type from JSON to JSON-LD will probably break a lot of existing clients, such as, I don't know, jQuery, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any input on that, Dave Lane or Nicholas? Okay, so I think traditionally I've been kind of against doing this because of having something out of band is while helpful, I don't know if we'd end up using it. But you know, looking at the proposal again, I think the link header, I'd be much more comfortable with doing something with the link header than changing the MIME type using the content type. Although I guess what the issue with content type is that I forget whether we say that a JSON-LD document must be served up with that content type or not in the spec. Because if we believe that it's going to be very difficult for JSON-LD documents to be served up with a different content type, then we should make it such that content type should be that, but it's not absolutely required. So it should be a should and not a must in the spec. But that's kind of it's a different issue. So Marcus, I think what you're saying is that, you know, if you were to use a link header, then would a JSON-LD processor need to look at the HTTP header in order to figure out, in order to process a document? Or is that outside of the, could we say, you know, you could also do that, a JSON-LD processor could do that, or should we say that that's actually at the application layer that the application should look at the link header, and if there is a link header that says has like rel described by an application LD plus JSON and format equals context, then at that point the application can download that context and then inject it in as the first context for the JSON document.
I think we should kind of split that into two parts. So for one, we should look at traditional JSON documents which don't have that add context key, and client wouldn't understand the add context key because the MIME type isn't used, so they don't know how to interpret that. And on the other hand, we should look at JSON-LD documents. So for JSON-LD documents, I think we don't need the link header, and well, we could declare it as optional so that we can support that scenario at the application level, which it, you just described. But we should, in my opinion at least, really try to support that or try to put that forward for all JSON documents, because that really provides a nice upgrade path for existing infrastructure.
Okay. I guess my question is a little more specific. So I think I would, I don't want to make it a requirement on the JSON-LD processor to look at the link header, because the JSON-LD processor may not have access to the link header, whereas the application would, right? So I think that what I'm proposing is that we put in support for the link header, but we say that dereferencing that document is up to the application, and then it's up to the application to pass that into the JSON-LD processor as the, you know, as the beginning context. Is that would that be acceptable to you?
Yes. So you would.
Okay.
That basically would mean that the JSON-LD processor just processes documents that are served with the JSON-LD MIME type, right?
The JSON-LD in effect, yes. But I guess what I'm saying is that the JSON-LD processor shouldn't depend on HTTP headers at all.
Yeah.
Right.
But
so
I mean,
go ahead.
If you're then feeding in a normal JSON document, then you can as well feed in that context that is passed by the link header. So yeah, I would agree that we don't require that JSON-LD processors have to look at the link header.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the right place to kind of make the division there, because we already kind of do that for, well, actually, you know what, So right now the set of rules that we have only requires the JSON-LD processor to look at the document it's handed, right? And if it sees an add context in an external context like http://example.com/context, if it sees that, then it has to go out in the network and fetch it and do all that stuff. But I think the headers or the HTTP headers are a bit different in that that's something that the application should pay attention to. So I guess the proposal would be, let's see, are there two parts to this proposal? One part of the proposal is support the HTTP link header as a mechanism for expressing an associated context with JSON documents. And then the other proposal, I guess the other thing that we need to talk about is whether rel described by is the right term to use. And Marcus, did you look at described by? Does it seem like the right term?
Yes. Hang on a sec, I'm just looking it up.
Can I quickly comment?
Yes.
I basically agree with everything you say here. I think that this is something that could be put in a section regarding publishing JSON-LD, and as you say, describing some optional mechanism and both really giving advice for implementers and how to publish JSON-LD in different scenarios, because as you say, many scenarios, it will be not only hard to publish with a specific MIME type, but actually you want to use JSON-LD for the added contextual and semantic value, but you still just want to publish JSON, so you want to use the JSON MIME type. So we should incorporate those aspects, the MIME type aspect, and the possibility of adding context in a link header if you cannot modify the JSON where you publish it. The different ways of giving semantic context to your JSON in a publishing section.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And also, I'm looking at the document that Marcus... I agree, Nicholas. I'm also looking at the document that Marcus put up there, and described by sounds like the perfect keyword. Okay, so two proposals then. One of them is support the use, or I get, yeah, support the use of the HTTP link header to give JSON documents to associate a JSON-LD context with JSON documents. Support the use of the HTTP link header to associate a JSON-LD context with JSON documents. Let's see, and a JSON-LD processor is not required to read HTTP headers. Well, I'll keep that out for now. So that's one of the proposals. The next one is going to deal with whether or not a JSON-LD processor should mess around with link headers or headers or not.
Is the described by included in this? That's the relation.
Oh,
name.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. Let me do that one really quickly then. The relation name used in a link.
I have a quick question.
Uh-huh.
Is described by used with, I mean, does anyone else use that, and are we like conflicting with any other use of that concept?
Powder specifies it.
The way it is used is, sorry.
Go ahead, Marcus.
So the way it is used is that you have a link there, and the link's target, that relation, which is described by plus a MIME type, so that would be JSON-LD then. And then you know that it is described by a context.
Okay.
So for example, if someone would specify a JSON schema, for example, they would use a different MIME type there and nevertheless use the described by.
Yeah, I think it seems like it's the correct use of it. And we can always change it later if it isn't. It's a detail, I guess. Okay, the relation name used in a link header to associate a JSON-LD context with a JSON-LD document will be described by... All right, and then final proposal is a JSON LD processor is not required to process HTTP link or HTTP headers, but rather depends. Say again?
For JSON documents or for JSON LD documents?
Let's see. A JSON LD processor is not required to process HTTP headers. JSON LD?
No, the thing is, if we specify that as well for JSON LD, then some people might choose to put some of the context in link headers and some of them within the document. So if we also allow that for JSON LD documents, then I would say they have to be in the document body as well.
Either or.
I'm not following.
So it's not that you can either put them in the link header or in the bodies, but you have to put them in both parts for JSON LD documents. Otherwise, you have to support, or otherwise the parser has to look at the link headers.
Right. You know yeah. I understand. I'm trying to think of language to make it a bit more clear. So what I was going to propose is that, you know, by saying a JSON LD processor is not required to process HTTP headers, that basically means that if you want a JSON LD document to have a context, you must put it in there. Right. I don't know about the either or, because we're not talking about JSON documents, are we? I guess you're saying we should say something about a JSON document that wants to.
No, the only
JSON
thing I would propose is that we don't. For example, we just don't support the link header for the MIME type application JSON LD. That's the simplest way to solve it.
I think so, too.
Okay. So... Go ahead, Nicholas.
If you are able to publish with a specific MIME, the specific MIME type of JSON LD, it's reasonable to believe that you're also able to add the explicit context reference in the JSON data.
Exactly, yeah.
That may not always be true if you're automatically picking the MIME type just based on like a file extension or something.
No,
well,
but
it depends on the server.
If you're able to define the file extension as JSON LD, it's also reasonable to think that you're able to manipulate the data to add the data reference in that file.
Well, it may change based on the file, though. I mean, like an Apache rule for that would be rather a blunt instrument of just saying this is JSON LD, as opposed to, depending on the particular content of the document, you need to have different context.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is rather that a file ending in .json is... it's quite possible to have it contain a context reference explicitly in the data, but we don't know. And if you're not able to add it, this mechanism of a header is a way to reference a context anyway. But if you have a file which ends in JSON LD, and then it should either not depend on any context or have the reference of the context in the data. Otherwise, it's just a JSON document.
Marcus, Nicholas, do you guys have a clear idea of how to write the proposal for this? Because I'm having a hard time with it.
Do we need to even have this stuff in the spec? Is this beyond,
yes.
I mean, is this like a recommendation stuff, or is it, I mean, you know,
no.
the actual syntax itself
is
a little separate from this.
it's publishing advice, but I think that if you, we should advise against publishing JSON-LD with a specific MIME type JSON-LD, but only use the link header to reference the context.
Yeah, so I guess the proposal would be a JSON-LD document must not be published with a link header using the described by publishing pattern. Something like that?
At least should not.
All right.
Yeah, should not.
Actually, should not. With using the described by publishing pattern alone, it's not wrong to have it in the link header, but if you have it in the link header, it should also be present in the JSON data.
If a link header
we can make it simpler by saying a JSON-LD document must have all the context within the document body. So basically, we don't care about the link header.
Yeah, it can be present or not. That's
true.
But exactly. If it has any context, it should be referenced in the body.
Yeah, it must be referenced in the body, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, a JSON-LD document must have all context information required for processing within the body of the document.
Exactly.
Yes. And that implies a link to the context, as always, I assume.
Yeah, you're still free to use that.
Yeah. Context information is inline or a link.
Right. Okay. So is that, I think that takes care of that issue. Any disagreement? Okay, so issue 16 is done. Next up is issue 41. Let me grab the...
Is that previous issue resolved as far as what to do with the describe by thing and all that?
I think so.
Okay.
Hold on. Let's see. Yeah. We're using describe by. I think the details, the rest of the details we can work out in the spec pretty easily. I think we have
Are there issues with conflicting when you have the context in the document itself and you have a header, what do you do with that? I mean, we probably have to say what to do.
Right, but what we just decided is if it's a JSON-LD document, you use the context in the document and you completely ignore the link relation if it's there. If they're different in any way. If they're the same, it doesn't matter. But if they're different, and the MIME type is a JSON-LD document, then you use the context in the document. If it's a JSON document and it has a context in the document, I have a feeling that is going to, this is, we're talking about, you know, if someone misauthors something, the context in the document probably takes precedence over the link header. If it's a JSON document and there's no context in the document, but there's a link header, then the link header imports an initial context. I think that's how we resolve conflicts between the link relation and the context. Does
okay.
that make sense to people? Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay. Issue 41, IRI expansion within context. Okay, and here's the link to that one. I need to remind myself exactly what this one is about. Yeah, so this is Greg's issue, and he would. This is basically allowing the use of queries inside things inside things like type, inside of so we're in the context, and somebody wants to, somebody you know uses declares XSD as a prefix, and they want to use XSD in the data type definition or elsewhere in the in the context. And we weren't doing this previously because I think we required, we didn't want to have a multi-pass processing algorithm, but I think what we're doing is we're slowly moving towards a multi-pass processing algorithm. So let's see, the text of the original issue says the spec describes designing a context in terms of having an active context. This allows terms and prefixes to be used within a context definition if they're defined earlier. We should update the spec to ensure that this is clear and to allow both from context defined in a higher object and those that proceed within an array of contexts. So I think as far as that issue is concerned, that issue only cares about making sure that previous contexts have an effect on the current context. But I think what we're going to do with the last issue that we have on the agenda today says that we should be able to use queries prefixes defined within the same context to expand items like XSD date. So if in the context XSD is defined, we should be able to use XSD elsewhere in the context, for example, when setting type. Is that reading of this issue correct, Marcus? I think you had been talking with Greg a bit about this as well.
Yeah, I think that's the thing we discussed. The other issue 43 is about having prefixes in the key position at the context. This one here is more about having it in type or in a IRI.
Right. So actually, I believe that the latest implementation that Dave Longley did was to implement it such that you could use queries in the left-hand part of the context, the key position of the context, and you could use queries in the right-hand position. Anything that should be in basically an ID and IRI can be expressed as a prefix colon. Suffix mechanism, and I guess the only issue that brings up is all of a sudden HTTP colon needs to be delayed. The resolution of that needs to be delayed. You need to make sure that HTTP colon isn't a prefix or FTP or any one of those isn't a prefix before you start expanding it.
So basically what you're saying is that they've already implemented all that, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, looking at the playground, it seems to already be there, yeah.
So I guess what that signals is that it's implementable. Now, do we want to support that?
It's definitely implementable. I also did some tests before, and it's just that there are some recursions, or there could be some recursions, and you could end up with cycles. So we would need to add like another exception type for signaling those cycles in context.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. At some point, we had a discussion about whether or not there are errors if I think if there are cycles, and yeah, we came to the same conclusion that we should have a data type that specifies that the context is invalid.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the proposal then is IRI expansion should work for prefixes used on the left-hand side should work in context for prefixes used on the right-hand side. Right-hand side of prefix definitions, including type, I guess our IRI as well, or sorry, ID now, type ID. Okay, I think, well, is that all we have, is type and ID on the right-hand side? I forget what we do with list.
I think currently list is in type. We're still having an issue, I think, or should open regarding if we should, how we define lists of coerced things. And also, we discussed sets or a similar mechanism, and opt for proposal is either that the value of type is itself an object, or that we add something like the container keyword. But that's a different
right.
issue.
Okay. All right. So the proposal is
IRI. At least is true.
Say that again.
In the current spec, I think there is at least equals to true or false if it's a list.
Yeah, and I think that's probably going to change. Okay, so proposal IRI expansion should work in context for prefixes used on the right-hand side of prefix definitions, prefix declarations, including type and ID.
That also means it should work for terms, right?
Yeah, but in specific, using spec text, I don't think we say term. We're just saying prefixes in terms or some type of kind of prefixes, but we just talk about prefixes in the spec, I think.
Yeah, but what I mean is if I have, for example, a type which equals to just a term, so there isn't any colon in it, it should work as well, right?
I believe so, because we require, we require full IRIs, don't we? I believe that's right.
I think so. There was a discussion about if there should be some kind of multipass, I mean, with more than two passes, but I think that would be to go too far, i.e. if you have...
Well,
if you have...
So I believe that you do need multiple passes. You would need... The first pass would declare all the prefixes, right?
Yes.
And on the left-hand side, you could have a query, so those would be unresolvable. So the first pass would go through and get all the things that are basically, you know, prefixes without a colon in them, and it would expand those as much as it could, because the right-hand side could actually have a colon in there as well, right? So you go and you collect all of the prefixes that don't have a colon on the left-hand side, and you see if you can resolve the right-hand side of them. And if you can do that, then you make another pass and resolve the prefixes that have colons in them, basically the queries, and then you try and resolve the right-hand side, and then you might need to make multiple passes over the right-hand side, maybe one more pass over the right-hand side to figure out exactly what the types and some of the IDs expand to if you use terms or prefixes there. So it's definitely multi-pass. I don't know if it's n minus one. I think you need three passes, but I'm not positive about that.
Yeah, I'm just worried. I will paste this in. I think it looks okay. To kind of illustrate. see what I'm getting at. Where DC is used as a prefix, but also uses a prefix in the right hand.
Let's see. Do we know if that actually... I'm wondering if that works in the playground right now.
If you support that kind of stuff, you have to do several recursions. It ends up to be a recursive algorithm.
Exactly. And that would be too far, I think. I mean, sure, there might be uses, but it will be very complex.
But I think, actually, it's quite easy to support and don't expect that there will be much issues with it.
Do you support the recursive algorithm, or...?
Yeah. So it's not difficult to implement it, and I don't really expect that there will be a lot of problems with it, but it could make context easier.
Yeah, let me see what this actually does.
So I think I attached that code there. It's dirty PHP.
Yeah,
code.
I'm looking in the playground right now to see if it supports it, and it doesn't look like it does support the recursive. Yeah, it just expands it out once. It doesn't do it recursively. So, Nicholas, you're saying that you feel that the recursive expansion algorithm for context would be going too far?
Yeah.
And Marcus, you're saying that it would be, we could support it.
Are you talking to me or to Nicholas?
Yeah, you're saying that we could support it. Marcus.
I just posted that URI, so there is a script which I implemented to just test if it works. And it's actually not that difficult to do it. It's recursive, but you can easily detect cycles.
Yeah, I can see how it's done, but I think that it might open a can of worms for if people read context. I don't know. I wouldn't fight it if you're okay with it. I just didn't expect you to be okay with it.
The reason why I'm okay with it is
that it's actually more difficult to, or it's more work to restrict that than to just support it. And it makes the spec, in my opinion, more complex if we kind of don't support it in certain parts, but support it in other parts.
I wonder,
so there is one downside to the recursive expansion thing, and that's that you could have a pretty nasty denial of service attack by having context recurse, you know, down pretty deeply. Like, you could create a fairly deep cycle.
Implementations could just limit that to a certain number of levels.
Yeah, I guess so. But that means but usually that number set at a high enough point where a denial of service attack is, you know, possible. The denial of service could be just sending a really gigantic document up. That would probably eat up more time sending a large document up slowly than this recursive attack. So that would be the biggest way to do a denial of service attack.
And I think, I mean, like, you don't need to support really deep levels of recursion. Normally, even one or two would be enough to support almost every practical case.
Okay. All right. So I guess then the proposal is that IRI expansion in context should be a recursive algorithm, see, IR expansion should work in context for prefixes used on the right hand of prefixes. The IRI resolution, the IRI expansion algorithm should be recursive. Should be recursive in that it continues to execute as long as new. Yes, it continues to execute as long as new prefixes are, as long as at least one prefix is expanded in the current cycle.
No.
No.
You have to recurse into one term, so you can't. I mean, you can't just. Yeah, well, okay, you could also implement it the other way. No. So to resolve that, you have to recursively dig context, so you can't just like pass over it and check if you made some progress. I think, at least. It's already quite late.
I'm not sure that Greg would agree a lot with this direction. It seemed that he wasn't too thrilled about more than two passes over context.
No, we know that we have to do three at this point, minimum. And it might, and I would expect that this algorithm is well. I think this algorithm is the right way to solve the problem, right? Because we do want to, you know, we don't. The problem with approaching it the other way is that you basically have a two-pass algorithm that may not make a good bit of sense to people that want to kind of shorten up their contexts, like, for example, via vocab or something like that. And I think that the corner case that you put in there, Nicholas, which is the, you know, what happens if someone does title DC title and then makes DC, you know, base colon terms and then specifies base as the base prefix for DC.
Yeah.
I mean, that we don't expect that to be a very common authoring pattern at all. But yeah. I don't know why we should restrict that authoring pattern if the algorithm is simpler than the two or three pass algorithm. Because it might be easier for us to say, just run this recursive process on the context until you don't resolve any new prefixes. That to me is easier to say and teach than, well, the first thing you do is you run all the prefixes on the left-hand side and then you use those to try and resolve prefixes on the right-hand side.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
But, should we add cycle guard in that?
Yes. Yeah, I think if you detect the cycle, then it's an exception when you're expanding the context.
Yeah.
Okay, so IRI expansion should work in context for prefixes used on the right-hand side of prefix declarations, including type and IRI. The IRI expansion algorithm should be recursive in that it continues to execute as long as one prefix is expanded in the current cycle. There must be a guard against, there must be a mechanism to protect against, I guess, if a cycle is detected, if a cycle is detected during tech. cycle is detected during resolution, if a cycle is detected during resolution, then an exception must be thrown.
I think you should also add it should work in context for prefixes and terms, so we don't require a colon at the right hand side, right?
I don't think we do. Right. So what I'm saying is that we don't use the terminology term in the spec. At least I don't think we do. The only thing we talk about are prefixes.
Are you sure about that?
I thought I went through and modified the spec so that we only talk about prefixes. Let me look really quickly. Yeah, we only talk about prefixes, I think, terms.
No, we talk about.
We do talk about effect torsion, especially the expanded term definition. Yeah, you're right. Terms of prefixes using them.
Marcus, is this the kind of use case you're looking for?
No, it's not. I would just not like to restrict it to just prefixes.
It shouldn't be. I don't think we intended that to happen.
But I don't expect it to be a common use case, to be honest.
No, but if it were in place, would my example work? It sounds like it, where the type date is expanded.
Sorry, say that again.
The example in IRC where I have type date.
Yes.
Which is a term. Which will eventually be expanded.
That's not a term, it's a prefix, isn't it? You have XSD colon date, so you're using XSD.
Yeah, in date, but then further to the left I have type colon date. Which is the term date.
Sorry, I can't see it. Oh, okay. Sorry, I was looking at the example and top of it. Okay. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Great. Yep. Okay, yeah, I think that's the intent. So changing the resolution to IRI expansion should work in context for prefixes and terms used on the right-hand side of prefix/term declarations. Okay. It's a bit messy, but I think we capture the general gist of what we want in there. Okay, so I think that addresses issue 41.
Yes.
And if people have 5 more minutes, I think we could resolve issue 43 as well, because I think we want to apply the same rules to issue 43. Nicholas, Marcus, do you guys have 5 more minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So the topic is issue 43. Okay, and then I guess the proposal is allow IRI expansion to operate in context for prefixes. And is this specifically for prefixes on the left-hand side of prefix prefix declarations? The IRI prefix, yeah. Okay, so that's allow IRI expansion to operate in context for prefixes on the left-hand side of prefix declarations, and then the rest of it is basically what we said before. It should be recursive and continue to operate as long as one prefix is expanded. If a cycle is detected, an exception must be thrown.
Is it really IRI expansion if we do it on the left-hand side in a context?
Well, we've been calling that algorithm the IRI expansion algorithm.
You're basically overwriting a term which where the prefix was already defined. So you're overriding a specific suffix for an existing prefix, right?
No, actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess what you're doing is you are declaring a new way that thing could expand. You're effectively specifying a term that has a colon in it.
Exactly, yeah. So you specify a prefix suffix at the same time. Normally you just specify the prefix or a plain
right.
term.
So I guess then we need to, I guess we could model it as allowing a colon in term definitions, but that's confusing.
So basically what that would do is, if you have a prefix, that prefix already defined, you would overwrite it or merge it, I don't know. And if it's not defined, you define the prefix and the suffix at the same time. So basically, you define a term with a colon in it, yeah.
It's sort of... let's see.
Yeah.
Yes. Even though you might don't need to specify the at ID in there if you specified or if you defined both before.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Well, well, I suppose if it wasn't defined, then it would be the a URI with the URI scheme both.
This is a little more tricky than I thought it was. I thought it was a fairly straightforward. This is.
I think it's, yeah, I agree it's not that easy because you could specify a term, for example. If you don't specify the ID in there, you might not be able to resolve the prefix that you use.
Yeah. Yeah, this is problematic. I'd say let's push this off onto the mailing list or another telecon because I don't necessarily want to make a quick decision on this because it has some side effects that are that I think we need to think about a bit more. Any objection to kind of talking about this on the mailing list or spending at least a couple of weeks thinking about this before we come to a resolution on it?
Fine by me.
No. I think that's a good idea.
All right, that's the call, and we're not going to be having a call next week. So happy holidays, Merry Christmas, or whatever you choose to celebrate or not celebrate over the next couple of days. And we'll meet back the week after next week, I think.
So that's
all
already
right.
Beginning of January?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Let me check.
The 3rd of
it's
January.
The 3rd.
Yep.
Should we hold the next one like in 2 weeks? I think on the 3rd a lot of people, including me, are still on holidays.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Let me see. I haven't even looked at the... So that would be the 10th of January?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thanks,
okay.
guys.
Great.
Thank you. Happy holidays. And Happy
Thank
New
you.
Year.
Thank you, too.
Thanks. See ya.
Bye.
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 Bye.